If you like what you see, please like and share the video, and subscribe to the channel, turning on all notifications. If you would like to support this channel, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the description. Those who have bought coffees since the premiere of my last video and the recording of this one are Holly Hirth. You can like and follow us on Facebook. The link for that is also in the description. Why do Catholics have so many unbiblical beliefs? If you're a Catholic who has had any interaction with Protestants, you have undoubtedly heard them say something to this effect. The belief that many Catholic doctrines are not found in the Bible, and I have a lot to say on this. First, is Scripture alone true? In other words, does the revelation of God come to us exclusively through Scripture? The answer is no, but this is not going to be a full refutation of Scripture alone. See my video, Not by Scripture Alone. Second, I'm not going to give a defense of every doctrine that Protestants claim is unbiblical. That would take too long, and I have videos on my channel addressing these various issues, though I may specifically address a few of them. Third, the reality is Protestants have many beliefs that are not explicitly found in the Bible as well. For instance, and yes, I've said this many times, but it bears repeating, nowhere does the Bible say personal relationship with Jesus, or it's a relationship, not a religion. In fact, 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "Great indeed we confessed, is the mystery of our personal relationship with Jesus?" No, religion. Nowhere does the Bible say, make a profession of faith, ask Jesus into your heart, or make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior. Some Protestants say this is how we are born again. But the real way we are born again, the way the Bible says, is baptism, John 3:3-5. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one asks me into their heart and makes me their personal Lord and Savior, no. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And the only place in the Bible that the words faith and alone are together are in the book of James, which says, "You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone." The evangelical salvation ritual of running up to the altar, making a profession of faith, asking Jesus into your heart and making him your personal Lord and Savior is unbiblical. It sounds good, but it's unbiblical. Now, are there scripture passages that can be interpreted into this salvation ritual? Yes. But that doesn't mean it's true. The Bible can be interpreted incorrectly and lead people into error and damnation. Second Peter 3:15-16. "So also our beloved brother Paul wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, speaking of this as he does in all his letters. There are some things in them hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction as they do the other scriptures." The Bible warns about misinterpreting the writings of Paul, that Paul is difficult to understand and doing so can send you to hell. The Bible doesn't warn against misinterpreting James. All uniquely Protestant doctrines come from the writings of Paul, and the Protestants get a lot of things wrong because they rely on their own understanding and not tradition. And when things in the Bible seem to contradict, such as the writings of Paul and the book of James, they set up false unbiblical rules such as Romans is the Constitution. If something seems to contradict the letter to the Romans, we go with Romans. Paul trumps all. Where is this in the Bible? The Bible warns about misinterpreting Paul and no one else. Now, the reality is the Bible is materially sufficient, but not formally sufficient. Everything, all of the truth, is materially present in Scripture, even if it's in the smallest form and not explicit. But the tradition is necessary to see it. Scripture alone will not give you all the truth, nor does it claim to. No matter how they slice and dice it, 2 Timothy 3:16 will never say Scripture alone. It will always say Scripture is useful, not all you need. If a person relies on their own understanding or someone else's understanding of Scripture without tradition as a guide, they will end up in error. Because Scripture was never meant to be used without tradition. Let me give you an example of the material sufficiency of Scripture. Let's talk about the Immaculate Conception, which means the Virgin Mary was conceived without original sin. Genesis 3:15 says, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed." Now God is talking to Satan, and he tells Satan that there will be a woman that will be his enemy. So who is this woman? Well, the seed of the woman is Jesus, and since Jesus is the seed of Mary, then the woman is Mary. It's not hard to figure out. So Mary is the enemy of Satan, but she can't be Satan's enemy if she ever committed a sin. And indeed, the tradition says that Mary was sinless. And since the magisterium of the church is who the Holy Spirit guides to doctrinal truth, the Pope declared the dogma of the Immaculate Conception based both on Scripture and tradition, because it's true. But you will never come to that conclusion based on Scripture alone. So what is tradition? Well, we're talking about sacred tradition, or big T tradition, not small T tradition like the priest wears this color on this feast day or this feast day is on this day, etc. Those things can change. Sacred tradition, or big T tradition, cannot change. It is the deposit of faith. Scripture comes from sacred tradition and is part of it. That's why it is dependent on it. Tradition is the teaching of the apostles that they received either from the mouth of Jesus or the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Notice the earliest Christians did not devote themselves to Scripture, probably because they didn't have Scripture as we have it today, which I will get into later. The teaching of the apostles is the Word of God, and it was preached, Galatians 1:11. "For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin." 1 Corinthians 15:1. "Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you have received and on which you have taken your stand." 1 Thessalonians 2:13. "And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers." This oral teaching is the sacred tradition. 1 Corinthians 11:2. "I commend you because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions even as I have delivered them to you." 2 Thessalonians 3:6. "Now we command you, beloved, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from believers who are living in idleness and not according to the tradition they received from us." Yes, Jesus condemned the traditions of men, but the traditions of the apostles we are to adhere to. And honestly, I could keep going. The letters from the apostles constantly talk about the gospel they preached and the traditions they handed down, but never say what it is. Just remember what we told you. And they talk about giving teachings in person and not in writing, Thessalonians 2, 5-6. "Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you this, and you know what is restraining him now, so that he may be revealed in his time." Paul is talking about what is restraining the Antichrist. He reminds them that he told them and that they know, but he doesn't say what it is. Only tradition will tell you. 2 John 1:12. "There are several things I have to tell you, but I have thought it best not to trust them to paper and ink. I hope instead to visit you and talk to you in person, so that our joy may be complete." And the Bible admits that not everything is in the Bible, John 20:30. "There were many other signs that Jesus worked in the sight of the disciples, but they are not recorded in this book." John 21:25. "There was much else that Jesus did. If it were written down in detail, I do suppose the world itself would not hold all the books that would be written." The Bible even talks of reading and obeying letters that are not in the Bible. Colossians 4:16. "And when this letter has been read among you, have it read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you read also the letter from Laodicea." Paul talks about a letter he wrote to the Corinthians before 1 Corinthians, which was written before 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 5:9. "I wrote you in my letter not to associate with immoral men." Of course, Protestants will say that everything the apostles preached ended up in the Bible. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. In fact, it says the opposite, 2 Thessalonians 2:15. "So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught by us, either by word of mouth or by letter." The Bible itself says that not everything that we need to believe can be found in the Bible. And where do you think you're going to find these traditions that were passed down by word of mouth? in one of the churches that's only been around for 500 years or less, or the one church that's been around since the beginning. The truth comes to us through Scripture, yes, but also tradition. And the authority Christ established is the only one that the Holy Spirit guides to the truth, Matthew 16:18. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the powers of death shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And to all the apostles he said concerning the authority of the church he founded, Matthew 18:17-18, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be as a Gentile or a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The church Christ established, that he gave this authority and promise of the guidance of the Holy Spirit to, is the Catholic Church. A superficial study of real academic history will show this. So the answer to the question, why do Catholics have so many unbiblical beliefs, is this. Not everything we need to believe can be found in the Bible. You need tradition to fully understand Scripture. The magisterium, and only the magisterium, of the Catholic Church is guided to the truth of Scripture. Not me, not you, not your pastor, and not whoever you think the biblical expert is. But the real point I want to make is this. The Catholic Church is the only church that is not based on the Bible. Yes, you heard that right. The Catholic Church was not started by a man or a group of men reading the Bible, interpreting it for themselves, and starting a church that proclaims their interpretation as the correct interpretation, like every Protestant church. That's why there are so many churches with the Scripture alone crowd, because they can't agree on the true meaning of Scripture. No, the Catholic Church does not come from the Bible. The Bible comes from the Catholic Church. And that's undoubtedly how it would be with the original church. Catholic teaching is what Jesus gave the apostles, what the apostles preached, and what the early Christians devoted themselves to. I heard John MacArthur say once that Catholics developed praying to Mary because of what the Bible says about the wedding of Cana, assuming that we looked through the Bible and developed our doctrine like he did. But it's the other way around. The Bible says what it says about the wedding of Cana because of Mary's intercession. Protestants don't obey Jewish dietary laws because the New Testament says we are freed from the law. Catholics don't obey Jewish dietary laws because the Council of Jerusalem, which is preserved for us in the book of Acts, says we are freed from the law. It was already part of Catholic teaching because of that council before the book of Acts was ever written. Because, as the book of Acts says in Acts 16:4, as they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. Do you see the difference? The Bible reflects Catholic teaching, not the other way around. I've heard it said many times by Protestants that the Catholic Church added books to the Old Testament to justify certain doctrines, such as purgatory, as if we need Scripture to justify our doctrines like they do. First of all, that's not true. Those books were always there. It's the Protestants that removed them at the Reformation because they didn't like purgatory. And why would we add books to the Old Testament if these were new doctrines? Why would we not just add them to the New Testament? We undoubtedly decided what books belonged in the New Testament. The fact that 2 Thessalonians says that there are teachings not explicitly found in the writings of the church leaders, i.e. Scripture, therefore adhere to and pass on the oral teaching, means we should expect the original church to have teachings that aren't found through Scripture alone, because they are based on the oral tradition of the apostles that the Bible itself speaks of. And isn't it strange that all the churches that can actually draw their lineage to the apostles, not only the Catholic Church, but the Eastern Orthodox and Oriental churches, have all these beliefs that Protestants call unbiblical? A belief in the real presence, bishops and priests, the sinlessness and perpetual virginity of Mary, reparation of sin after death before entering heaven. They have those nasty extra books in their Bible too, and they pray to Mary and the saints. The Christians in the places that the Bible actually talks about, not just Rome, but Corinth, Galatia, and Ephesus, for example. Those Christians don't believe Protestant doctrines, they believe Catholic doctrines, just not as developed. Protestantism is pretty much confined to Western Europe, Middle America, and as a recent development, South America. And let's not forget that the Bible as we have it today did not come about until the end of the 4th century, and it was the Catholic Church, the Roman Catholic Church, that decided which books are to be considered Scripture. Every Protestant accepts this decision of the Catholic Church, at least as far as the New Testament goes. But not only that, it is the Catholic Church that decided there would even be a Bible. The Catholic Church decided at the Council of Nicaea to decide what books are inspired. They didn't decide it at that council, just that they would. The decision of what is Scripture happened at the Councils of Rome, Hippo, and Carthage. The Bible didn't drop from the sky. It was given to us through the Catholic Church. And why did they make that decision? Did they say, we need to decide which books people should draw their doctrine from? Of course not. That would be absurd. They decided they needed to determine which books reflect the teaching that was handed down, realizing it wasn't necessary that all of what was handed down be reflected. Why? To decide what books are proper for the readings of the Mass. That's why. Not to decide doctrine. The doctrine, the deposit of faith, was already in place. Protestants misuse Scripture. Until my next video, God bless.